This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully you're taking us along for the ride on a Monday after Super Bowl. I do want to give Nick some props as well.
Uh-oh, no way. Yep. Cut his mic.
I saw your tweets and pictures and things during the course of the weekend, but Nick tweeted what I was thinking last night. Again, part of the criticism I have of the CBS broadcast was the fact that it was so unorganized. And the post game was such a freaking just mess of people. And Nick tweeted out, Tracy Wolfson, such a class act. The fact that she almost got trampled three times after she was standing next to Brady, ready to do the interview. And you could hear F-bombs and otherwise, and people pushing and shoving, and the security people, and everything like that. And they even checked with her a couple times, and she basically was like, no, I'm good. I'm ready when you are. And waited for it to all calm down. I can say 9 out of 10 people that would have been in the same situation would have lost their you know what.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Tracy, so.
I would have lost my mind. I would have been so pissed. In fact, I was getting pissed just watching it because she had a job to do. CBS paid a lot of money to host the Super Bowl, and it's their right for the amount of money they spent to get that first. And when you have a flood of cameras and microphones and everything else,
right,
that was uncalled for. I think next time they've got to figure a way around that. There needs to be some sort of, you know, bubble or something that's set up that allows CBS or whoever owns the rights to the game to get first dibs. Because when you pay for something like that, that's what you want. And then now you've got this boring ass, you got a boring ass game, and now you've got a boring ass post game for the first 3 minutes. You're just watching just people just shuffle around. It's like, well, this sucks. So it probably cost them some views because people were like, well, I'm not going to watch a stampede.
I'm going to check ESPN. I'm going to check NFL Network. Because you're right. Because the one guy in the suit, I believe, was Brady's own personal security guy. The bald guy in the Patriots gear was a Patriots security guy. But you got to have the PR department. You got to have security. You're right. You got to have stadium security. The network has their security. And you got to make a half circle and realize, hey, you still have to go up on stage, get awards, get the trophy. You can hug Julian Edelman and Robert Kraft and do all that BS after we get what we got to get done.
At one point, you could hear Tom Brady plead to people to stop pushing.
Yep.
You could hear him go, guys, everyone relax. Because it was just like getting tighter and tighter in that circle. At one point, I couldn't even see Tracy Wolfson anymore. I don't know where the hell she went. She disappeared for a moment.
That's when they finally found the right angle for their aerial camera because it was in the air.
Yeah.
And you could see her telling the security guys, no, I'm good. I'm okay.
That's crazy.
Because literally, because she's smaller too. She could have gotten trampled with the way people were just coming at him from every angle.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a lesson in professionalism, the way she held her composure and didn't get rattled by that.
Nick tweeted that.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Not to mention the fact that I like the way she dresses. She's like professional sexy. She's not come look at me sexy. No, she's not like...
Dude, you're right.
She's not trying to get attention from players is what I'm saying.
Right. She's just doing her job.
She's still looking sexy, but she's professional about it.
She covered the NBA playoffs a couple years ago, and we were in Oklahoma City. And you could not be more right about how many people noticed just that. Like, I don't think she's going over the top trying, but she caught everybody's eye.
Exactly. I mean, she's been like that from. I always respected the way she carried herself, the way she dressed. I feel like more reporters should act the same way. But that's
although
just
I'm not going to criticize Holly Saunders in any way, shape, or form, but there is a little bit of a difference.
big fan.
I don't think anybody is.
I'm just going to say, you know, you're right in doing that. So I wanted to get to that. And then Barry, you had seen too the Saturday Night Affair, which no one was watching.
No, I didn't watch it. That's what I love about the internet. And you know, I mean, it used to be the paper, but you don't have to watch it. But the NFL Honors Awards went down, and they gave out all of their rookies of the year, player of the year, and all that. And I don't think there was really any surprises in any of these. So your offensive rookie of the year was Saquon Barkley of the Giants, running back. Your defensive rookie of the year was Darius Leonard of the Colts, linebacker for the Colts. Does that surprise you at all, either of those?
I know the runner-ups. I could name you the runner-ups, which means at least it was somewhat of a discussion in the fact that you had Baker Mayfield offensively, and you had Derwin James of the Chargers defensively. I thought that that might be close, but I think they got it right.
Yep. Offensive player of the year was... Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes. Defensive Player of the Year was Aaron Donald of the Rams. I don't think either of those were a surprise. There's got any beef with that?
No beef at all. And the only one that had an outside chance was defensively, and that was Mac.
Yeah.
Khalil Mac.
Yeah. Your Comeback Player of the Year, Andrew Luck of the Colts. Good with that.
Not going to argue against that.
Nope. The only one outside there was one that people here had a lot to say about was JJ.
Right, because for the first half of the year, he was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year again. And then he faded a little bit.
But he lost the Hurricane, though.
Yeah, Coach of the Year, the Bears coach, Matt Nagy. I'm good with that.
I thought Bill O'Brien was head and shoulders above.
Oh, you stop.
I'm sorry. No.
I mean, no one expected the Bears to be that good.
Nope.
And, I mean, obviously getting Khalil Mack and,
yeah, that trade.
And helped a lot, but I don't think anybody saw that coming. Most Valuable Player, your MVP of the NFL for 2018. No big surprise here. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes. I'm good with that, too. I don't really have a...
Spot on. Can't take it away from him. Everybody always likes to make younger guys wait. He was just so head and shoulders above everybody else. You could have shown some love for Drew Brees.
Right.
But you're doing a disservice to a kid that earned it.
I saw some crazy thing about the numbers that Drew Brees put up and the fact that since he was runner up again, no, like the first time somebody's had like 5,000 yards or whatever his gaudy numbers were that didn't win the MVP. But when you've got a guy like Patrick Mahomes that's putting up even gaudier numbers, as young as he is.
So young in second year, yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, or kind of his rookie year.
I've got no beef with any of that. The only beef that I really had was when you look at the honors, there's all these stupid ass. Those were all the AP honors. But then there's like the FedEx Air and Ground Player of the Year. Stop it.
Yeah. That's just
it. Stop it. What are you talking about?
A sponsor that you don't want money to get away from you? We could make it a award for you.
Air and Ground Player of the Year?
Waste Management next year is going to get the Hot Garbage Award.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going with that. Who is hot garbage in the NFL?
We should come
year?
Up with our own. Yeah, we should have like sponsors like that, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I like that.
Seriously.
Here's some of the other ones. The Salute to Service Award presented by USAA. Okay.
Okay.
The Game Changer Award presented by Gillette. Okay. The Built for Tough Offensive Lineman of the Year. The Built for Tough Offensive Line of the Year. Not lineman. All the line. The moment of the year, which you would have been happy for. It was Aaron Rodgers' comeback against the Bears in week one.
God, that was beautiful.
The Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award.
Oh, coming from a guy that owns the team that crapped the bed in the locker room all year in the Steelers.
The Bridgestone Clutch Performance Play of the Year.
Okay.
The Deacon Jones Award. The Touchdown Celebration of the Year. Which was the Seahawks, by the way, if you care. The Don Shula NFL High School Coach of the Year Award.
Oh, come on.
Why are you giving out High School Coach of the Year Awards in the NFL? That's just, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's awful.
I don't get that. And then the Courtyard Unstoppable Performance of the Year. Then, of course, the only one that I really like about the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
And he deserved it.
Good with that. Yeah.
Chris Long absolutely deserved it. But did you catch this? So, because JJ was catching a lot of heat. JJ was on the field pregame to give Chris Long the Man of the Year award because JJ won it last year. And behind him, I don't know if they had previous winners or who they were, but yeah, Marshawn Lynch. Every other guy, sport coat, slacks, whatever, they were dressed up. Marshawn's got a beanie, a hoodie, a backpack, and he actually kind of kneeled down as the camera was going by.
He was hiding behind JJ.
And everybody's going, what is he doing?
My wife was like, who is that kid on there with all those people?
Yeah, like Lisa's going, you know, tan suits never look good on air like JJ. I go, screw the tan suit. Marshawn Lynch looks like he's going to a concert or something, and he's on the field.
That was pretty funny.
He doesn't care.
I think what was on the field was all of the nominees.
Yo, bro, they were going to find me if I didn't show up. I'm here.
There was all. I think that was this year's nominees that were on the field.
How does he get nominated this year? He was suspended. He was fined.
I mean, he does a lot in the community.
Evidently, he didn't do it out on the field,
He does a whole lot for Oakland.
Yeah,
he really
he's from
does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, you could have dressed up or had someone. Skittles is paying you enough to at least get you a sport coat.
Yeah, I'm pulling up a list of the nominees. I bet you he's on there. If he's on there, then that's what it was.
And if he's not.
And if he's not, then
keep
I was a
guess.
Oakland Raiders, running back Marshawn Lynch.
Well, think about the team they had. There's not many other nominees you might have been able to pull, too.
Well, it's, and if you're wondering who your Texans representative was, it was Whitney Merciless.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that everybody that was out there was
the Yeah, nominee. Okay, so it was this year's nominee.
Correct.
So I get it, but at the same
but
time.
But everybody else dressed up, and all you could see was backpack straps.
Yep.
That's so funny.
I just was like, oh my God. Care.
That dude marches to the beat of his own drum, and he's happy with that, and that. Good for him.
Kudos and credit to him, right? If you can keep doing it, pull it off, man, making money, good for you. And he came back. Remember that, too. Because he was going to walk away, came back, got himself a couple more checks.
Yep. Somebody said, I'd love to know the second half ratings because me and my buds checked out and started playing Black Ops 4.
Yeah?
I bet it was way down. I bet it was. And then somebody said, hey, Barry, what about the new Supra? We talked about the new Audi.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't see
that. It looked good. Bob, that Audi, though, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I'm with you. And
isn't the Audi, like, all-electric, kind of like the Tesla? Yeah, that's supposed to compete?
Yeah, 2025, they'll have an all-electric Audi.
I was going to say, if you read the bottom line.
Lord, that thing looked good.
At the end of the commercial, I said they gave a percentage, but it's like three-quarters of their entire line of cars will be electric by 2025.
Somebody mentioned the HEB Castaway commercial was pretty good, too.
Especially if you think it's
wasn't bad.
If he was trying to get the Heb on the island instead of HEB, he was just trying to get some weed.
Yeah. All right. Last one. We'll go to break. Hey guys, Joe here. Huge fan of the show, and I think the Tom Hanks narrated Washington Post commercial was okay.
He did. It wasn't good. It was an emotional commercial.
Yeah.
But okay. All right. So we're gonna continue to roll on. You want to join us? Give us a shout. We're here for you, having some fun after Super Bowl. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Kane is in the building. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. A little more than half to go, so we're still in the mix for you. Brian Flores, the no-brainer number one, the linebackers coach and defensive coordinator for the Patriots, named Dolphins coach today. Bengals have hired their new head coach, and this one lost a lot of luster in the last 24 hours. Zach Taylor, quarterback coach, Rams, new coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
From quarterback coach to head coach.
But you know the big
crazy.
The big key though, Barry.
Hmm?
He worked with Sean McVay.
That's like going from a tight ends coach to the OC.
Oh wait, and what? Then there's that saving the best for last as you lead us in. Well done, sir. The Texans' tight end coach, which no one knew, was Tim Kelly. Now you're going to get to know him really well because he's the new offensive coordinator for Bill O'Brien's Texans.
That's a puppet move, right?
No question.
I love it because I saw Cody did an article on SportsMap, and you should all go read it. He put a lot of time and effort into that, and it was a good article. But somewhere in there, I don't know who said it or what, but I don't know if it was Cody or if it was a quote from somebody, but they talked about it's good to have someone that'll be honest with you and not be a yes man. That's exactly what he is a yes man. What are you talking about?
I responded to Cody's tweet.
What are you talking about? He's going to be a total yes man.
Nick, you remember?
I could not agree more.
O'Brien's gonna be like, "We need to run the ball right here." I said we need to run the ball right. Okay, I'll go. Did you have one in mind? Yeah. You know what? Just give me the sheet. Just give me the sheet. I'll do it. Like I can totally see that. Tim, just go sit down. Give me the sheet. And when people ask, that was your decision.
Or
I got this.
Or hey, guys in the booth, turn off Tim's mic. But at least so we don't lose credibility, let him look like he's looking at the play sheet and saying stuff. In the meantime, my mic's on, and I'll tell you what we're running.
He's just watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Cody and I had a debate on this very show how he thought they didn't even need an offensive coordinator. Well, I texted him. I go, "Well, you got your wish," because he's not. He's just like you said, Nick. He's a figurehead puppet that's filling in for Bill O'Brien.
And I'm all for promoting from within.
I'm all for that.
And that's something that he's going to have to prove, unless he's just a a guy with a title, and Bill O'Brien really does plan on taking control of the offensive coordinating situation and all the play calling. But I don't know. I feel like when you promote from within, it's either A, the person really earned himself that position and he really does know his job, or B, it's a puppet move.
What about the Texans tight ends? Do you look at it and go, damn, they excelled? That's a group of tight ends right there that has been coached up so much that guy should be running a whole offense.
Just when they were playing with Brock, but that was because he couldn't throw for more than 10 yards.
Brian Gain drafting two good rookie tight ends that are going to get better. But you knew going in, you drafted them because they had talent. But yeah, I mean, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, so let me give you the quick bio. But Kelly has been the tight ends coach since joining O'Brien from Penn State, where he was with O'Brien in 2014. During that span, he coached the likes of... Oh, C.J. Fedorowicz. Oh, Ryan Griffin. And attempted to acclimate rookies that we were just mentioning, Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas, into the NFL. So his biggest kudos are C.J. Fedorowicz, Ryan Griffin, and the fact that he attempted to acclimate rookie tight ends into the system.
Perhaps this is a situation where he's still making most of the play calling, but this quarterback's coach, Tim Kelly, probably is just going to relieve him of some of the play calling duties. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just too much and it's overwhelming and he just needs a little relief in terms of the... I don't know. Maybe that's an ideal situation.
Ryan Griffin was the leading tight end in yards for the Houston Texans. He had... Are you ready?
I'm ready.
305 yards receiving on the year. 305. That puts him 28th in the NFL.
He's a monster.
And that's their best tight end.
Here's the kicker of all kickers, ready? All right? Because this is like AJ puts you in a new position, right?
And probably earned it.
Yeah. Let's put you as the new general manager over the entire station.
Oh, I like it. Nick, you're fired.
Right?
You are fired, Nick.
And everybody's hope is Barry's going to bring in a new attitude, some fresh ideas.
Yeah.
Change, you know, whatever they, what is it called? New blood. Okay. But the quote that I get, or that AJ gives, that he reads in the press conference, that's in the press conference, says, "The Bearster's going to do exactly what we all have wanted. He's going to come in and really do what he does best. The Bearster." He doesn't call you Barry. Okay? Because here's the quote in the press release from Bill O'Brien. Timmy Kelly, somebody that guys probably haven't heard a lot about him, he's an excellent football coach. We got a strong coaching staff. Hopefully we can do the best we can to keep them together. Timmy. So a guy that people are hoping comes in with authority, comes in with a bang, comes in is going to be respected. That's Timmy.
Wow.
Timmy Kelly's going to be okay, guys, because Billy says so.
I feel like Tim Kelly stroked a lot of egos and got where he's at today. Because Bill Belichick has always endorsed anything Bill O'Brien. He's never talked bad about him. He obviously worked with him. He's always endorsed him. Every time they asked about Bill O'Brien or his entourage or his team, they always said, oh, he's a great football coach. He belongs in the NFL. People don't realize how good of a football coach he is. So, Timmy, if you're being called Timmy.
Timmy. And God. Here's the other thing, guys. Remember this was less than a month ago that quarterback coach Sean Ryan left for the Lions?
Uh-huh.
Pretty much probably knew it. He wasn't getting the job. Because everybody's like, why would he go from one place to the other and not have, you know, control of play calling and everything like that? It seemed like a lateral move for the most part going to Detroit. But yet it makes sense because he's not going to get the OC with the team he's with. So he gets the hell out of Dodge going, well, you don't obviously have a high regard for me. You're going to make the tight ends coach your OC.
This is, I feel like what this move was somebody in the higher up said, look, we're taking too much heat. With you being the head coach and the play caller and the offensive coordinator. You need to have an offensive coordinator on staff. We don't care what you do, how you do it, but you need to have one. So whatever works for you, we just need these people to stop talking about it. And then he was like, great, you know what I'll do? I'll just take Timmy and I'll give him the role and then he'll do whatever I want and do the game plan how I want it. And I mean, this isn't...
I wouldn't be shocked. We don't know that for sure, but I wouldn't be shocked.
It's so transparent to me that this is not a football move. This is a placating
a
the city.
Move.
And yeah, this is just keeping... All right, everybody leave me alone now. Well, you got an OC. Are you happy? And then when the door shuts... they're like, all right, they're in the offensive meeting, right, for the week. I can just see that, like, week one. Okay, guys. So Tim, put your hand down. Here's what Tim, put your hand down. I had something, Bill. I thought, Tim, put your hand down and shut up. I got this. Like, he's not gonna have any input in this. Tim, when we get to the tight ends, you can do whatever you want to do. But until then, I'm still gonna do all this. Like, this is, to me, it's just so obvious. I would love for them to come out here and be like, oh, no. Bill's Nick, not even going to call plays. Good. He better not have those stupid little glasses on or a play sheet. Just let him. How many people that don't call plays have a play sheet on them? None.
That's right.
And if he's walking on the sidelines with a play sheet, you know who's calling plays. Period.
Nick, you get the soundbite ready now, because next season, all we're going to be doing is, well, the Texans ran it 5 straight times to open drives in the first half. Timmy. Can't blame Bill. Gotta blame Timmy.
I would love for Bill O'Brien to blame Timmy. That right? would be news right there.
Well, we're just gonna have to call it's all better on plays. Timmy. We're gonna have to call better plays.
You know what, John? I don't have time for all that. Timmy over here, he's got it under control.
Okay.
Well, I mean, D'Antoni kind of does that with defense.
Oh, good Lord. From the you got a defensive hired, question?
Hit yep. up the D coordinator, bud.
The day he was hired, he said, you guys, if you're going to hammer me, question me, or get at me at any time while I'm the head coach about anything defensively, it's not on me, it's on him. He deflected the whole, right from the get-go, he's like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. But he didn't make any bones about it. This is just BS. Because this is a straight cover. All right, we're at the midway point. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. Second half right around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
Hi, Reggie. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the big show. It's The Usual Suspect. It's ESPN 97.5 on a Monday, fun day post-Super Bowl. Got majority of the NFL news out of the way, as well as the recap of the enthralling Super Bowl.
Yes.
I saw Jeff Blum and also Julia Morales make joke-worthy tweets of the fact that, is it baseball season yet?
Man.
Blummer said, like, I took a nap. I woke up. Is it baseball season yet? Oh, wait. It is.
It ain't long. It ain't. When was it, the 13th?
Yeah, it's less than 2 weeks. I think it's less than 2 weeks, and pitchers and catchers report.
Pretty pumped about that.
Me too, man. Especially with the fact that the only thing that's mesmerizing to me is all the guys that are still out there. I just cannot believe that the two biggest names in all of free agency are still out there. That the two biggest names in free agency for the Astros are still out there. I don't know if you caught it or not, but kind of under the radar, they reached an agreement with Devo. Okay. Out of arbitration. So Devo's going to make about, I think, 1.45 or something like that. Fine. Okay. So he'll be back anyway. So he'll strengthen the bullpen. Hopefully he finds the circle of death again, and he becomes an effective pitcher without injury.
Just to clean it up, Astros, February 14th is pitchers and catchers. Full squads start February 18th.
That'll be a tough one to remember, won't it? Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So that's, there you go. Most
so
of them are
Lisa
around.
So when Lisa asked
then.
What I got her? I got pitchers and catchers to report. That's what I got you.
I got you some Astros.
Do you feel the love? Two balls and one strike.
Hey,
look out.
Two balls and a bat.
Oh, well, that too. I don't need 3 strikes. I don't want to be out on that one.
Don't want 3 strikes.
No. A
couple of texts and then we'll keep it moving. What up, guys? I'm listening to y'all on the app from Atlanta as I wait for my flight back home. Thanks for keeping me entertained. That's
dope. I am the smartest man alive.
You are a smart man, sir.
That's pretty cool. You got to go out there.
Hope you went to the game.
Yeah. Somebody said, Barry, I'm with you. I'm still I was still grilling at kickoff. Spent halftime outside because it felt so good. As soon as it finished, I changed channels. It was weak AF.
Can't Can't say I disagree.
Mm-mm. If you had 3 or 0 in your football squares, the Super Bowl did not suck for you.
That's true.
Very true.
Very, very true. Is it too early to lay down fertilizer on my lawn? See, I snuck that one in there on you guys?
Yeah, I had no idea that was coming.
Would you recommend Bill's Perfect Fertilizer? That's from Danny. Danny, I don't know. I've never used Bill's.
Bill's Perfect Fertilizer is crap.
I never. My mic off? What?
No. It must be some technical difficulties that we're suffering from. I have no idea.
Bill's Perfect Fertilizer is crap.
No.
It actually is.
No.
It's fertilizer.
I don't use that, so I have no idea, Danny. But you can do a quick green up in like the first week of March.
Feed it.
Yeah. Just do a quick green up. They have stuff just for that.
Okay.
There you go.
Wrapping up football, too. The odds came out early
for next season. Texans!
Nick's right, though. Someone at ESPN predicted, with all these kind of outrageous predictions, Saints-Texans Super Bowl next year.
No.
I think it's probably also why they predicted Le'Veon Bell could be signing with the Texans in the offseason.
Oh, did they?
Because if you get one, you got a better chance at the other. But if you don't...
Do you think if they get Le'Veon Bell that they're automatically a Super Bowl contender?
Unless they improve that offensive line.
Exactly.
And how much running is he going to... Yeah. What is he going to do with that O-line?
Well, he's going to give a safety valve for Deshaun Watson when he's running for his life that he could dump it down to someone that can actually do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, the beauty of Le'Veon Bell is that they've always said that he's so patient that when you hand him the ball, he finds the hole and he'll take his time and stutter step and find the hole and then hit it. And that's great if there's a hole.
Yep.
But not with this offensive line.
You got to be MacGyver to create the hole first.
Look
what the Patriots did. I called them Saquon Barkley, my bad, earlier today, but Sonny Michel. They created massive holes for him to run.
Their offensive line didn't get enough credit all season because people were crapping on their defense and crapping on their O-line. Both of those units came to play.
Yep.
Without question. So, yeah, I mean, so there's some odds to be set. It's obviously before we see what happens in free agency and the draft and everything else to get to. But New England, the Rams, and the Saints all are at 8-1. But that's not the favorite.
Chiefs.
Yep. 7-1.
Yeah. It sounds about right.
So, Chiefs had the second best odds at 7-1. Actually, it shifted to 6-1, my bad. Then following at 8-1 are the Pats, the Saints, and the Rams. And the teams with the next best odds are the Steelers, Chargers, and Bears at 14-1. Browns among 6 teams at 20-1.
I can't believe the Steelers are that high, as messy as that.
Neither, because you don't know what's going to happen, right? You still got to rectify it one way or the other.
You had a big three in Big Ben and... Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. And now it's about to be Big Ben and Juju Smith-Schuster. And that's great. And that's great.
And
I know Connor was good. Those guys aren't Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And I'm sorry, Juan. I know you don't want to hear that. I don't expect big things out of the Steelers next year. And you guys know I picked them 2 years in a row to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just don't see it, which means now they probably will. But
they're gonna have to deal with some changes, though. So it's not something that's gonna be easy to overcome. They're gonna have to deal with roster changes, and it's not gonna be that seamless.
And it's one thing because they've said they're even contemplating trying to put a tag on Le'Veon Bell again, which I don't know why. You don't just cut your losses, use the money, use it wisely, and maybe improve your team. But then the other thing is, you can say you're gonna move on from Antonio Brown, but until you find a deal for him, you still have to pay him. And we've always said you're not going to get equal value in return for any superstar when you trade them. So they've got work to do all over the place, as well as filling holes that they've had. Because their defense wasn't anything to write home about. They had moments.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole, what'd you say they were going to do? They were not franchising, but...
hit them with the franchise
transition
tag.
Transition tag. I feel like that's a dumb move. Why would you want to do that and then match whatever offer and for a guy that not only basically turned his back on your team, but doesn't want to be there?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
And then you saw the other news that came out that Foles, the Eagles are going to pick the $20 million option up on Foles, and they're looking for a third round pick in a trade to try and get something for him so he doesn't just walk.
Only a third round pick?
Yeah. I would think teams that want him are going to up the ante, but I think also because they can't afford to have him on their cap, like they picked up the option, but they have no intention of that money being there at the start of the season.
Right.
So in order to make sure that he moves on, I'm sure their hope is, well, I'll start it at the bidding at third round picks, and if I get more than one team interested, hopefully one of them will up it to a second.
What are, let's see here. I want to see what some of the caps are. Colts have the most space.
Texans got a lot of money.
Yeah, but they're not doing that for Foles.
No, they're not. I'm not saying for him. No, I'm just saying
but Texans I'm trying to money. See like who needs a quarterback that has a lot of space.
Jacksonville's got a lot of money tied up in that defense.
Colts have the most cap room than the Jets. They're not. The Browns don't. The Bills don't. Raiders, probably not. It just depends. Gruden is probably not going to take somebody that's like Foles. He probably is going to go and get his guy, you would think, with one of those draft picks.
I would think that the Jets and the Raiders are both teams out on Foles, but possibly in on Le'Veon Bell.
Right, but I'm saying, like, just from the Foles trade thing, yeah. I'm like, where does he go?
Jacksonville, the Giants.
Well, so again, you mentioned the cap room. You got to have the cap space.
Oh, I get it. I'm just saying teams that need a quarterback.
Colts, Jets, Browns, Bills, Raiders, Niners, Texans are the top seven. Seahawks at 8. Bengals at 9.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then the Arizona Cardinals at 10.
That's a real interesting
one. So Bengals
one.
And Cardinals might be the first two that go, yo, we've got some room. We've got some space. Lance, we could absorb that. And that third round pick, though, that's going to be a pretty high pick for a third rounder if you're getting it from the Cardinals.
No doubt about it. And Lance has thrown it out there, and I was shocked when he did this because we have a video coming out later this week on Sports Map 2 where he reiterated it, and I was shocked. He thinks the Cardinals could move on from Josh Rosen after 1 year and draft another quarterback. How can you pull the plug that quickly on such a high pick?
Because Josh is hot garbage.
Yeah.
I heard his attitude's hot garbage for
is
sure.
It? Yeah. So he sucks and he has a bad attitude?
I heard they think he has ability, but he's such a D-bag to everyone that they don't know that anyone can coach him, so they don't know if they want to deal with him,
just
especially
so
with Kingsbury.
Just so you're aware, Giants have 23 mil in cap space, and this is according to SpotTrack right now. As of right now, Jags are 6 mil over the cap. So they're going to have to make some moves to make the Foles.
But here's the
other
thing. You can tell me that the Giants have $40 million in cap room. I'll tell you that I don't think the Eagles want to make a trade in the division.
Now that's the other thing. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. So they might have out of the equation just simply because of the fact you don't want to make them better.
The Bengals might make a lot of sense because it's not too high of a pick. I mean, what are they picking?
They were okay.
Yeah, I got to look it up. I'll pull up the NFL draft order.
Okay. All right, so we'll continue to move on. We'll get to that. We'll get you a bunch of other stuff. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to circle back on the Super Bowl, you want to talk about something NFL, baseball, basketball, or otherwise, just give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can also text that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome to the Fishbowl. I'm the Usual Suspects on a Monday, otherwise known as the Palatial Gal Media Studios, here in hour number two, 3 hour show. Nick, Barry, Joel post Super Bowl, talking about football and other things. As we have talked about your Texans' new offensive coordinator, the doldrums that were Super Bowl Sunday.
Can I clean up one thing from earlier in the show?
Sure.
I said that Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters posted that the World Cup outdrew the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and I misspoke. It was the MLS Cup.
Yeah, you dummy.
But
I never misspeak.
But still, the MLS Cup drew 73,019 people. Super Bowl 53 drew 70,081 people.
The only difference was in the MLS Cup final, 69,121 of those tickets were actually comped. And that makes a difference.
And not sold for $7,000.
That's right. They were not sold for the face value of their ticket or the Super Bowl tickets, which were in the thousands per ticket.
A couple of texts. Somebody said, do you still blame Bill O if he fails this season or Tim Kelly, the new OC? Oh, it's still on Bill. 1,000% on Bill. One, you picked him. So if you picked him and they sucked, then either he wasn't ready or you never gave up control.
But don't kid yourself. it's also a built-in scapegoat so that if you do want to blame it on Bill, just like we said with D'Antoni, he can brush it aside and go, you guys wanted an offensive coordinator. I didn't do that.
But do you think that, like, a bad season or two, he'll be able to do that and just blame it on somebody else? Or has he been given enough of a chance considering the extension in the 5 years that he's been with the team?
To me, the whole key is what I said earlier. If that guy's holding a play sheet or not. If Bill O'Brien has a play sheet in his hands during games, he's calling plays.
So, for instance, Green Bay, you can have the title. It's like working at a bank because most banks don't want to pay you. So they'll give you a vice president title right after they hire you.
Yep.
But then you're not going to get the money or the responsibilities. Green Bay, Joe Philbin was the offensive coordinator. He didn't call a single play. You know, Sean McVay, everybody wants the next Sean McVay, but no one in the Rams organization called the play. Sean McVay did. So you might have an OC title. You might be sought after because you have it, but you haven't done a dang thing.
And both Mike McCarthy and Sean McVay both carry play sheets.
Yep, they sure do.
You, that's how you'll know what that relationship is right away. Now, Timmy may be part of the scheme. He may be part of the game plan. He may be part of scripting the plays early. But when it comes to in game, if Bill O'Brien has a play sheet in his hand, he's calling.
I can see a situation too where he just knows the playbook, like he knows all of Bob's plays very, very well. And you know, when you're doing 15 different things and you're being pulled in from 15 different directions because you're the head coach, maybe he can be that extra mind that says, you know what, there's a couple plays in your playbook, you know, that I studied that you might want to try here. And maybe it could be a help. Well, I'm not necessarily sold on the fact that this is going to be a bad move. But it is kind of concerning because it's a promotion that came from within.
Here's the thing, and I understand you want to take a chance on a guy, but this is, in his own words, a relative unknown to everybody. And teams like the Texans that might be considered on the cusp don't take a chance necessarily on a tight ends coach with really no offensive coordinator experience. If you're really serious, then you go out and you get a guy at the level of a Romeo Crennel, but on the offensive side of the ball, you let those guys do their job. You take care of head coaching matters, and the team is better for it.
I've thrown out one name, but just for example alone, Todd Haley. Because Todd Haley, when the Steelers were really good, he balanced everything and had them scoring points and utilizing every guy in the repertoire and doing all the things offensively. He's an outside source with experience and a resume that says, from a fan perspective, an organizational perspective, and otherwise, you will respect that guy and you will say, they went out and got themselves an OC. Not a tight ends coach. Not a quarterback coach from another squad. Nope. This is a guy that has respect league-wide.
Yep.
He may get in pissing matches and fights with the head coach and the defensive coordinator, but you know he knows his X's and O's when it comes to offense.
I would be, I mean, that's a guy like him, I would be worried about him. And that's the other thing is, you're not going to get a guy that you feel like is going to disrupt chemistry.
Well, the other
and if
thing
Todd
is,
Haley, that's not the first time. When he was in Pittsburgh, there were issues.
I said Pittsburgh. Oh, in Cleveland too, yeah.
In Cleveland. But so, I'm with you. I would go, that's my point. I would go out and get an experienced offensive coordinator, a Wade Phillips, a Romeo Crennel, but on that side of the ball,
I mean, people
that might
say
make sense.
Norv Turner, Hugh Jackson is one of those guys, again, that not as a head coach, but Hugh Jackson has always been known as an innovative offensive mind and offensive coordinator. But the other thing that he wouldn't do, and we talked about it on this show, there's no way he's going to go out and get a guy that has head coaching potential. And especially if he gets a guy that has head coaching experience in the past, because now they got a replacement for him and waiting in the wings. Billy O ain't taking all that. He's not going to deal with that.
And I'll be interested to see how Tim gets along with the players. I think his relationship and how he carries himself and how the players react to him, I think that might have had something to do with him getting the job. Because I don't think you put him in that position if he has a bad relationship with players. So I would be very interested to see how players respond to him. I haven't seen it before. So.
Nick, I don't know who this like Tim is you're Cotter. Talking about, but Timmy. Timmy, I could see.
So like a Dirk Cotter, right? Like a guy like that.
Yeah. Another good offensive mind.
Right?
Yep.
And you had, did you mention Hugh Jackson earlier?
I said Hugh Jackson, Norv Turner.
Ben McAdoo is another name. I mean, these are guys with experience that, you know, if you're Bill O'Brien and you still have a certain way you can sit down with them and do that. But
one of your favorites, Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, it's less of a puppet move if you do that. And some teams, look, I mean, you got to take a chance at some point, but that's to me, it's like when you're the Browns, you take those chances, right? When you're a team that there's some expectations here, and now there's a window. You've got J.J. Watt, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, and you've got
a quarterback.
You've got a quarterback, and nobody's getting any younger. You've got a window. This isn't the time to be grooming a guy for an OC. This is the perfect time to go out and add a couple of offensive linemen. Add a couple of offensive linemen. Get an established OC and get it together on that side of the ball, because the defensive side of the ball, you're fine. This was a decent defense.
The secondary can be improved too.
Well, they're old. They're old, right. You can improve them through the draft or through free agency.
But they're easier to improve on than getting people that can dominate in the front seven or dominate at the skill positions on offense.
And you've got $62 million in cap room. So you can get better on both sides of the ball, and you could get better as an OC. But
let's face it, the running joke, because we're giving you what our perspective is. But the running joke was J.J. Watt was on the field for the Super Bowl, and that'll be as close as he ever gets to it while he's a member of the Houston Texans.
Very well.
And that actually is a possibility.
Yeah.
Unless they seriously address the holes. And you know what? They're not gaping holes like they once were.
No.
But until your offensive line can open up a few of them and your defense can stop some people on the back end, you're never going to get to where everybody in this city wants them to go.
I agree. It'll be interesting to see. And, you know, this is all speculation from us. I don't like the move. And maybe this kid is a bright offensive mind, and we just don't know it yet. Maybe he's the next Sean McVay, and we just don't know it yet.
Yeah, and that's,
it's all possible, but man.
But I'm with you. If from an outsider's perspective, insider's perspective, fans'
perspective,
someone that would get peace of mind out of this move, you say, go outside and get a name.
Look, if he was
a reputable guy.
If he was that guy, you would have heard about that, right? You would have heard them saying, oh, watch out for this guy. He's the next hot thing. He's a up-and-coming offensive mind in the Texans organization that's getting job interviews at other... I mean, this is literally the first time most people have heard the name Tim Kelly.
Try this on, too. If you're the Texans and you want respect for the move you made, you want a guy that's already been an offensive coordinator that's coming in to really make a name for himself even more, instead of a guy that you're saying, hey, let's give you your first shot ever as an offensive coordinator with our team. That means that's a team that's not a contender. That right. means a team we can be experimental, like you said about the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. These you got to make big boy moves if you're gonna play with the big boys.
No doubt. If you want to play with the big boys, that's you get us right here on ESPN 97.5. It's the Usual Suspects, hour number three, right around the corner.
This is ESPN 97.5.